Is Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Mishnah Halacha Hey. Now, I also promised I was going to get back to the previous page, which I'm going to do. First, we have to do the Mishnah. Hayar Reish Tor Chitim Nisal Tor Shal Sa'irim. If you had a Rosh Tor, which is the head of an ox, so to speak, or the head of a roe of Chitim, going into the Sa'orim. So either there's a big machlokas exactly how to learn this, three way machlokas. We have, if you have the, I guess you'll lose the Gemara pictures. I was just use these pictures. The picture in footnote 10, I think that's the Rambam's shot. And then you have the rush or the rash down at the bottom left. So either it's the wheat protrudes into the field, into a barley field, or this final shot is, it's very interesting, the way he's masmered is like this. He says that what would happen is like this. You have two fields. One's barley, one's wheat, and when you're plowing and seeding, so when you make a U-turn to go, when you're going east to west, and then making a U-turn to go west to east, so when you make that turn, there'll be a circle. You'll inevitably go into the adjacent field, and you'll be dropping actually seeds as you make that U-turn, because you're constantly dropping seeds. It's coming out of a seeder, right, a pouch that's dripping seeds slowly, right? So as a result, the bottom line is, it's evident that the only reason why there are seeds there is because it's the way you were planting. And you didn't mean to plant two, mean them together. That's the bottom line on all these problems. However you're going to learn it. Okay? So that's the Rosh Tor.
So what's the mutter part of that? What is mutter? Those?
You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to go and dig it up and make it like it's a space or something like that.
Is it the same owner?
Yes, it's the same owner.
And it's not enough of an intrusion from one area to the other to consider it coin.
Right. Now, the... He says a very lumped shazach over here. Lemaisa, there's machlokes between the Taisis Yontov. We mentioned this at the very, very beginning of the Mishnah. Taisis Yontov holds that the only time there's an Isra of Zerias Kalayim in HaTorah, as far as Kalayis Ram is concerned, is if you're throwing them both down at the same time. But if you had one min already planted already, and then you plant another min next to it, min HaTorah, that wouldn't be Kalayim. The Rambam holds not like that. The Rambam holds that's also Klein Min HaTorah. So let's assume if you hold like the Taisis Yontov, so he says that's the pshat why in these cases like the Rash and the second pshat, which is the Rush, why even though they're at most you're going to be over and it's a Drabbanan, so they're coolest within the Drabbanan. Mashing in the Rambam, who holds it's a Derisus, he had to learn the way he learned, where they're not actually next, like, you know, in the same field. In the Rambam, they come up to each other, but they're not in the same field. In the other cases, they are actually in the same field. Okay, so that's an interesting shot.
They abut, in
essence. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's the first thing. The nation near Kisov today, which looks like it's the end of the field. Shalom chitim v'shal chaveiro min acher. If I'm next to your field, Dov has his field of barley, I have my field of wheat, I can plant mamish right up to his field. There's no need to have any harchok at all.
Why is that? I understand it's a sadcha, but I'm saying if it's a maris ayin thing.
There's no maris ayin because it's known that these are two different owners.
It's known, but if I'm driving by and I don't live there, I don't know who owns it.
Isn't the whole issue that you're afraid that you're going to make two, you're going to bring two
meet him
together?
No, I'm not worried about that.
No, it's not the Isser to begin with. That's
no.
The Isser of Klein.
No.
Why not?
That's not the Isser of Klein. That you're thinking of Harkava. That's making a new species. That's Harkava. But Zrias Klein has nothing to do with making a new man. Okay. So
what is the core reason?
You want me to tell you the time of the core?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't prepared. That'll take too much time. I have a whole halak from the Chinuch.
Okay.
By Chloe Begadim, which is based on Kain and Hevel. Well, let's not go into it right now.
We'll wait for the
Siyam. Wait, let's wait. Shalachi divar shalchamer menachem. What's the list of achlam yaisa hamin? So that's a period. Period. You're allowed to put them. One second. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right translation here. Okay, what I told you before is true, but this is a different din. Shalochitim shalchaveir minacher. Then what I told you is true. You can plant your species all the way up to his species. But let's suppose this is a different kiddush. This line is a different kiddush altogether. This kiddush, this line is saying mutar lismach loy me'oisay min. The forest farmer can put the same species as his neighbor's species. So what's happening is Dov has barley, I have wheat. I could, in theory, go all the way up and right up against his field. That's not a problem. Because we know who's his who. But is a bigger chiddush. I can back up my wheat a line or two and plant barley in my field. But since my barley is right up against his barley field, it looks like it's just an extension of his field. And that's going to be much or two. That's what the Mishnah is saying, right? Mutal lismach loy may oisay min, means you could put from that min that my friend has in my field. Shalo chitim or shachavei rechitim. Now here's another din.
And that's not a claim.
It's a claim dekadim because you're planting chitim and sa'arim in your field next to each other. It is a claim dekadim. Shalom chitim shachaver chitim.
The chiddush is on the east side, not the west side.
That's right. That's right. The chiddush is the east side. What the listener like tell him shal pishna. If we're both wheat, that I can go ahead and put one row of flax. I'm basically testing out the ground to see if flax can grow here, so I'll know whether I can. I'm planning ahead, so for next year I'm going to plant the whole field flax, but this year, I just want to see, it will flax grow? Mishnah is matter that over there in between. Okay?
Do you care that one's edible, one's not? Flax is not edible, and wheat and barley are?
It says over here that you never plant one row of flax, that's the reason of the heter. It doesn't say it doesn't say anything about whether it's edible or not. But it does say, Vlo telem shel menacher, you can't plant any other type of a food, because any other type of food, it would be possible or once in a while you would just plant one row, and therefore it wouldn't necessarily look like you're testing the ground, right? So that's a Tanakhama. Rav Shimon says, no, echad zera pishon, echad kol minim, doesn't matter, as long as you're testing the ground, good enough, that's not going to be considered planting. Right, 16, just test it out, make sure it says that. Ramam and Rav interpret Rav Shimon to mean that whether the faro is of flaxseed or of any other species, it's forbidden to be planted in the middle of another species. Marafolda follows this interpretation, but his commentary in Lirik Bar retracts this in terms of whether Rash. Okay, that's actually footnote 16 is a different shot than what it says at the top. I just told you the top. I wasn't expecting to see another shot in the bottom. But anyway, I guess I didn't look at it before.
Oh, he's saying the shot like this. If there's chitim and chitim, and then there's a row of pishtan, it might look like it's in the middle of the field, and that's not
mutar. That's forbidden. Correct.
But because it's his field and his friend's because field,
the edge.
But the edge is deceiving because it looks like one because they're both hitting.
And nonetheless, so how it's do you still know that it's two but it's still mutter because it's the edge.
It's still mutter, it's because the edge.
That's correct. That is correct.
That is big chiddush.
Yes. Huge chiddush.
So
if it was in the middle of his field, it would be awesome.
So okay, well hold on a second, but I just want to make sure this is clear. So we're in Reb Shimon now. What you just said is true in the Tanakhama as well. Tanakhama was mater, telem echad beinehem. That's what it said, which was mashma, if it would be be'emtza ha'sada, it would be osur. You're maskim to that?
Yes.
Yes, no? And then, so the, I'm not sure exactly why we're talking that particular aspect of the Chiddush in Reb Shimon only. I mean, that should be true even in the Tanakhama, no?
That's
right. So, all Reb Shimon is saying, Echad Zara Pishon, Echad Kohaminim, that the simple reading of the Mishnah is that the other Minim would also be Mutter as a tester. But what's the other alternate turn Reb Shot? That if it would be in the middle, it would be Aser. I'm not sure that if it's in the middle, so how is he arguing on the Tanakhama? Tanakhama was Maskim in the middle, it's Aser. I'm not 100% sure that aspect of it. Okay, Rabbi Yosi Aimer, let's keep going. Afa emsa sadeh umutul levdek betalim shal pishtan. Rabbi Yosi has this special heter, and in the middle of the field, it's also mutter to test it out. That's Rabbi Yosi's special kula. Okay. Right. Same thing. Yep. Okay, now I have to go back for a second. So now, I want to explain the Gemara and Tazayin of Abayis. I didn't understand it yesterday. We said that we're talking about the top line. So we quoted Rav Yonah, who said that he could plant 50 species in one field, right? And then we said, Apishne Shuras came. And then the Gemara said, "Me'ata afilu be'nolav fein chaveiro mutter." Now, what that means is the following. If you take a look, another reason why I didn't understand it is because I hadn't learned this Mishnah yet, so I didn't understand what footnote number one was saying. Take a look at footnote 101, 16b. So it says, generally, if two people have adjoining fields, one may not plant another species, that means a third species, in between, unless it's separated from his main crop. That means if I have wheat and you have whatever you have, let's say you have barley, and I want to plant a third species of spelt, let's say, in between, unless there's a separation from my main crop of wheat, a base roiva, right, to separate in between my spelt and my wheat.
And what's the reason?
That's because it's a harchaka of klayim. So hold on a second. So let's finish. Let's first understand what's trying to teach us here. So the Gemara here is teaching, if the neighboring field is not a full field, it's tlumim, it's strips, okay? So my friend has strips of varying different species. In that case, since it looks like I am just extending his strips with my strip, therefore, I only need two amas, because that's the shear. That's what it means. Me'ata afilu be'nolav fein chaveiro mutter. It means I could put a small separation between my main field of wheat and the strip that I want to plant adjacent to his field, and it'll be fine as long as there's two amas. That's the pshat over here.
So what's the kind of the third planting? That's
you have to have a base row of space. Let's just accept these rules, okay?
Right.
If you want to plant between his field and my field, and we have two different species, and we want a third species in there, it has to be a base row of separation. At least from my main. That, I don't know about from his field, maybe
it's
because
the point that the strip is not considered.
What's that?
The point is that the strip isn't considered another field.
That's correct. That was our basic finish of the whole daf yesterday. Yeah. Okay. So that's the point of our Mishnah. Yeah. Okay. Rish Lakish. Now we're going to just simply say this rule we had many times already. This is the third time we having it. Rish Lakish, b'shem Chizkia. He said Reish Trum Mechorva, Habar Mechorva is Mutar. If you have the triangle, we'll learn the triangle pshat. If you have the triangle that came from a destroyed field, even though you didn't plant it as a Rosh Chodesh, but it just happened on its own, still mutter. And Rabbi Yochanan argues on Rabbi Shlakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, Shanu Elai HaReish Tor. It's only true if it was there from the time it was planted. But if it appeared afterwards, because as a result of a natural disintegration of the crop, that's not considered Rosh Tor. HaReish Tor HaBa Mechorva is Aser. Okay? So that's a basic rock like this. We've had it three times. So my bet, if we've had it three times, we'll have it again. Okay, Chizkiyama, I haven't learned anything beyond this page, so that's my bet. I'm hoping that it'll be better than the Mega Millions bet that I didn't make. Chizkiyama, Mishiyesh LaBeis Rava V'Kol Shehu. So now Chizkiyama is saying another din. If I have a Beis Rava of land, V'Kol Shehu, and an additional small piece of land, then Oysa Kol Shehu Zerei L'Tocho Kol Min Sheyirtza. I can put into that little piece of land any min I want. Why? Because Chizkiyah has an imagination. He imagines that this piece of land adjacent is like a Tor. There's a triangle, an imaginary triangle, and this little piece of land is the Rosh of the Tor. It's the head. The rest of what space?
The base. In other words, the rest of it is big enough to be considered its own place. So anything outside
that. No. The raiva.
See, if it wasn't a raiva, it
wouldn't consider. Hold on. I see what you're saying. You're saying the fact that it was a base raiva is what makes it's that
a separate entity.
Therefore the excess. Yeah, but
it has its own tzura, but
it doesn't really have a tzura because it's only this small little plant that you've put there. It doesn't have any shape. It's just a point. So it requires. I mean, I think what you're saying is correct part of the chiddush, which is I hadn't thought about that part of it. But yes, that bais rova plays a role. But more so, we're looking at his imaginary Rosh Tor. He's imagining a triangle there, pointing at the wheat. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree. And Rabbi Yochanan, no. In Israel, you can only plant one min in all the land because that's it, right? This is you can't use your imagination. Rabbi Zeira says, now let's suppose you had three half rovas. So we have one and a half rovas here in a rectangle. Shuzareya chatzi rova mikan, chatzi rova mikan. And what you'll have is in the picture, if you look down at the bottom by three, the way he has it is he has species one on the left, species two on the right, and he has an unplanted area in the middle. So the way the English here has it, it's an extension. In other words, each side is significant because it's part of a base. Here's where you're finished. What you were talking about before comes into play. That we are mitzdarif the half rova of the empty part to the left, and at the same time we mitzdarif it to the right as well. So that it comes out, you have a rova on each side, and therefore it's considered significant. But Rav Chaim has a different pshat over here, which is much more, I think it's much more geschmack. And it goes like this. It's this picture over here. And I'll pass it around if you can't see it. And what he has is, he's learning that this is still talking about Rosh Tor. And what he has here is like this. Let's say over here.
Maybe take a picture and send it to the group because I can't see it.
Okay, that's fine.
You have two torpedoes facing each other.
Hold on a second. I'll do that. Not a problem. This is really high tech over here.
Yeah, high tech.
This is high tech. 1 second, yushalmi.org. Take a picture. Okay. and send. Okay, you should all have this in your phone at this point. The Yerushalmi.org. It's a great idea, Dolphin. If you blow it up, I'm looking at the one that tests. So now you have chitim, you have a field of chitim on both sides, and you have shibola shul on one side and sa'irin on the other side.
In
the Rosh Torah, right? And it's a chatz.
The middle is empty.
And the chatzi rova is empty. His rake is empty. So what he's doing here is like this. Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that unless it's a base rova, it wouldn't be allowed to wouldn't be needed in Ketor because it's too small. You don't have. He's against using your imagination to create a Torah. So the Torah has to have a certain surah to it. So what he's doing here is he's being with starif, the half empty area to the half planted area to give it a chashivas so that it can qualify to be Rosh Tor on both the left side and on the right side.
Counting the empty space twice.
Counting it twice. You're counting it, you're being matched. Once for the chita, one for the shmol shul. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That's how he's learning the pshat in this Gemara. Okay? So that's what Rav Zeira is saying. Shemayda Rav Yechon, Shemayah Beis Raiva, Omechza, Shehu Zareya Chatzi Rav Amikan, Chatzi Rav Amikan, and Oysa Chatzi Rav, and Inan Lekan Lekan, and therefore, it's a Rosh Tor on both sides. That's how he's learning. So the Gemara says, now I'm just, the way, just to make this just easy, the way I view Rav Yechon, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold from using your imagination. That's what the basic machlokes between what was it, Chizkia, right? The Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yochanan, what was his name? It was previous page, right? It was Chizkia, no? Yeah, Chizkia. Chizkia uses his imagination, and he creates the roiva of planting. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, what are you talking about? It's not choshev." If it's not here, you don't use your imagination. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question. He has two fields. One's planted wheat, one's planted barley. He isn't Geres Tevin, he's Geres here. Tell him. He can place a furrow in between them. And Lizra Achas Chitov Achas Sa'ira. You could plant wheat and barley. Why? The wheat looks like it's the end of the wheat field, and the barley looks at the end of the barley field. So, looking at the picture, at footnote 9 or 8, whatever it is, 8, I guess it is, where the diagram is. So, you've got barley and wheat. You've got some space there. So, the dividing line between the two fields is this telem that we have over there. And that telem is planted wheat and barley. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying, oh, you know what? I'm imagining that's the dividing line between my field and your field, right? So even though it looks like it's barley and wheat together, but no, the barley is the end of the wheat. The wheat is the end of the wheat field. So we're looking as if the wheat extends all the way up to the wheat, and the barley line is like it's extending all the way up to the barley. So you're using your imagination. This is the way I understood the question. It's an imagination question. At Chizkia, we understand you use your imagination, so you look at it as if it's filled up. I think that's the question. If you look at 9, he says, the leniency of Rosh Tor applies to anything that looks like an extension of a field, regardless of the shape. Although they're spaced, the crops planted in the furrow are viewed as extensions. Mm-hmm. And the middle base rova is not viewed as a field containing two species, but it's divided with the wheat in the furrow being part of the wheat field, barley being part of the barley field. Is this talking about two separate owners? No, it says, Hayulosh de Sados. So it's got to be one person. It's not.
Yeah. Oh, it's a huge difference.
It's a big difference.
Because he's putting middle thing. He's putting a row of chitin and a row of sorin right next to each other. And if he's the owner...
Yeah, we never allowed you to put... Why is it good according to Chizkiyah?
Because he has a space in between.
So that's why that telem in the middle is allowed, which is, I don't understand why it would be allowed.
Because each one, each part of that is seen as a connected to the...
Yeah, but they're butted up, they're butted up against each other. And Sadcha lo tizrak al kilani.
I understand that.
I don't understand what that helps.
That's not so pasha to me exactly what this question is. Why I don't have Clark kind in this kasha. The Gemara, I see. See, I'm trying to figure out why this is a question according to Rabbi Yochanan and not according to Chizkiyah. Why is it better? I'm not 100% sure. The Gemara, it says in footnote 10. The Gemara assumes, just as Rabbi Yochanan restricts the leniency of Rosh Tor, that actually extends from a planted field, that means he restricts it, means he restricts it that if you plant it, it's only good if you planted it that way originally, right? So likewise, he'll limit the leniency of a Rosh Tor that was planted at the same time as the field from which it extends. So the Brisa, which allows placing a furrow in between two previously planted fields, oh, that's the pshat. Wow. I missed the boat on this. The Gemara is making this the following assumption. I didn't have this. The Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan, the same way he limits Rosh Torah from a Chorva, he also will say Rosh Torah is good if you plant it from the get-go as Rosh Torah. But if you had originally already planted the whole wheat field, you already planted the whole barley field. Now you're coming to make a tor. In other words, you're only making the tor part of the field that he wouldn't allow. That's the Gemara's assumption. Whereas Chizkiyah would have allowed that kulo. That's the way he's been masmer the question. Now, why is the space being thrown in here? I don't know why that. Why is the space? This seems to be likewise the space. It's not 100% clear. Reb Chaim has a different shot over here. Let's go on. Pasul Laka Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says, it's like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. He has a whole different shita who hold. In other words, Reb Yochanan says there is another Tana that disagrees with the way I'm learning our Tana. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, Afilo chita achar chita, nechnas l'chitav shel sairim, sara achar sara, nechnas l'chitav chitin, even one or two barleys come after another that protrude, it's mutter. Meaning, it's definitely part of the wheat field because it came from a wheat field. Meaning, after you see it, after it's planted, it looks like it came from the wheat field. And the saracha sarin nechasatav shel chitim with sairin, it looks like it came from the barley field.
Meaning, it doesn't look like it's
climbing. Meaning, it looks like a tor, and smells like a tor.
But the line is perfectly straight. It was just a natural process for some of this to spread into each other.
But look at the next
that's
thing.
That's
not. I'm going to play some of the last.
Where's the picture?
No, I'm not looking at the picture. I was just saying the next case.
But if it was Aval and Yurches, Aval and Hoysa, Kitachas Muvlas, Shelsorin, if it was actually embedded in there. So that means what? That means that it wasn't just, according to the way the Rambam learns Rosh Torah, it means it wasn't inside the area, right? But it's just, if it goes into the area, so then it's not allowed. I raise
the
awesome.
This is more Rosh Torah than the that we just said, you know, the before.
Yeah, why is that?
Look at the thing, because it's protruding into, you know, the one row going into the other field is the Rosh Torah, where the Talem, where do you see Rosh Torah here? I don't understand how you see with the thing in the middle, you know, with the space that we said before. How do you see Rosh Torah here?
You're saying Rosh Torah has to be
it's, you're right. It's not, that wouldn't be Rosh Torah. that would be a different heter. I don't think it would be
a protrusion, not necessarily a rotor.
It would be an extension of the wheat field. You're right. I don't necessarily see it as right. I mean, but in the footnote 10, he did mention tour.
Are we stopping here?
We're stopping. Thank you very much, everybody, for helping out over here.
He says Rosh Tor is an earring.